Cape Talk.
Health and wellness.
It's a great pleasure to welcome back to the studio Dr. Adrian Morris of the Cape Town Allergy Clinic, an experienced allergy consultant who has postgraduate diplomas in allergy, in dermatology, pediatrics and family practice. And besides consulting in Joburg and Cape Town, has a long, long list of honorary posts in the field of allergy and immunology. It's great to have you back with us, Adrian. Welcome.
Thank you for having me in the studio.
He is always in demand when he is here. So again, I'll urge you to start phoning right now if you hope to get your question answered or send an SMS. You can also leave your question by voice note to 072-567-1567. Adrian, at this time of year, it's sometimes quite difficult to distinguish between when a child in particular is coming down with a cold or the flu versus when they're actually suffering from an allergy. It is very much a seasonal problem, isn't it?
It is, and very difficult to detect because colds and flus often mimic house dust mite allergies, which are very common as we head into the winter with spring and summer and hay fever. That's very obvious. They sneeze and they itch and they know all about it. Mm. But this is very sort of creeps in unknown. And particularly here in the Western Cape, where we have a moderate climate and a lot of humidity and we spend a lot of time indoors and there's a lot of rain, hopefully, that promotes the growth of dust mites, which cause allergies.
So this is one time in which we can be slightly grateful for the delay in the rain because it's perhaps retarding the upsurge in house dust mites.
That's quite correct. The warmer weather we're experiencing and the dryness reduces dust mite growth indoors.
I'm allergic to them. Just about everybody else I know who suffers from allergies has at least one member of the family who is allergic to house dust. It's house dust mites. It's quite a common one, isn't it?
And very common in young children. So it causes asthma, eczema, rhinitis, nasal symptoms, and all of these things. So it's very common.
Let's talk a little bit about what they are. They are actual little living creatures. What more do we need to know?
They're tiny little spider-like creatures. They're about a third of a millimeter in size. You can hardly see them with the naked eye. And they eat the skin flakes we shed in our sleep and live in our bedding and old carpets and pillows. And it's their actual fecal pellets that we become allergic to. They don't bite us or do us any harm, but their poos actually become a powder which we then breathe in or it gets in our skin and causes allergies.
It's a terrible thought, but I guess the solution means you guard against keeping your bedding clear of those pellets by washing more often?
Absolutely. So they don't tolerate heat well. So it's a good idea to put your bedding out in the sunshine if you can. Reduce indoor humidity because they can't drink water. They need humidity indoors to survive. And change that old pillow and bedding and wash it all at a very high temperature, the sheets, pillowcases, to remove the dust mites.
So wash on a high temperature, expose them to sunlight. I know you can get special mattress covers
protectors,
and duvet protectors as well.
They do. You need to make sure that they are ones that have been authenticated and shown to be beneficial. There is a company Dreamguard that actually produce a very good product. It's the only thing I would endorse. And the Allergy Society of South Africa would also have a lot of information for listeners.
Okay, Allergy Society webpage we'll share with you at the end of the segment as a good go-to place for information. Let's talk about, the difference going on in the body. As you've said, the colds and flu, the symptoms can often mimic the allergic response, but it's a completely different thing happening in the body. If you've got a cold or flu, your body is responding to an actual intruder, if I can put it that way. An allergy, it's a fake response to something that isn't meant to be.
That's right. And with colds and flus, you're going to get a temperature, your mucus that comes out the nose and that sort of thing should be discolored. You'll have body aches, and the reaction should only last for about a week to 10 days. But if you find your child's having these symptoms for weeks on end, then it's more likely an allergy than a persistent cold or flu. Mm.
Now, what can be done for a child who is allergic? You've mentioned, so that you have the option of taking precautions with your bedding, etc. Is there anything in terms of actual treatment that can reduce the response?
Yes. Depending on how the allergy actually affects you. So the dust mite allergy may give you asthma, may give you allergic rhinitis, it may give you eczema. So the number one thing to do would be to identify the dust mites, the trigger, and try and remove that as much as possible, and then treat the symptoms of those other conditions, so asthma inhalers, nasal sprays, antihistamines, and creams to the skin to protect the skin and act as a barrier. There is a treatment called immunotherapy where you become desensitized to the dust mites. But unfortunately, it's very short in supply in this country and the world over. Mm-hmm. And we're having huge problems actually sourcing it. It is about 50% effective. So it's not an absolute guaranteed treatment that's going to work, but it is something to look into.
Hard to access, I assume, means expensive to access
and
as
also
well.
Imported from overseas. Mm. The Medicine Control Council has to be approached and authorize it, and it's quite a mission. And it has to be kept at a certain temperature, so often that cold chain's broken and then the product has to be sent back.
Yoy, okay. So that's immunotherapy. If anybody listening has been through the process of immunotherapy, either here or abroad, and you want to tell us what the experience was like and how efficient and effective it was, you're welcome to join the conversation from that perspective. In the meantime, our first question through on the SMS line, from someone whose son, the son's eyes swell and tear up when he is eating eggs. The question is, what can I do?
Well, the thing to do there would be to have an allergy test done to see if eggs are indeed the actual trigger. It's a bit of a strange reaction because usually you'd get itching in the mouth, a rash around the mouth, mm-hmm. possibly breathing difficulties and swelling. If it's mainly an ocular or eye-orientated problem, it's more likely that there's something in the environment that's getting into the eyes, and maybe you're mistaking the egg as the trigger and it's not. So important to get allergy tests done in this case to identify the actual cause.
Who does one go to for an allergy test? Does it have to be an allergist or
no,
a dermatologist, for example?
You could go to your own GP or pediatrician. They'd be able to organize these tests. They can be done on the skin, or more conveniently for doctors who don't do a lot of allergy, unlike me, they would do blood tests, and you can do blood tests and identify these problems.
Our guest in studio is Dr. Adrian Morris of the Cape Town Allergy Clinic. We're taking your questions on any allergy. It doesn't have to be limited to the house dust mite allergy that we've been discussing. 021-446-0567 is the number to dial. Michelle has sent an SMS saying that my daughter has continual clear mucus or snot. She's not sick, and a daily dose of Desilex doesn't seem to help. Do you think it could be a dust mite allergy?
Yes, it could well be, because we find that antihistamines are less effective for dust mite allergies, and the nasal sprays, these low-dose steroid nasal sprays, are very effective, and obviously to reduce dust mite exposure. But again, a good idea to get her tested and identify, because it might be the family pet. It could be the cat danders, dog danders, and these could be an issue as well.
Good luck, Michelle. Thanks for your interest. I was reading on your allergy clinic site an interesting couple of several articles, in fact, that I wanted to chat to you about. One was a complete 180-degree change in the approach to what pregnant women should do who are at high risk of passing on allergies. Certainly, if I think back to the days of my pregnancies, there was a strain of thought that says you err on the side of caution, you don't eat foods that are likely to trigger allergies like peanut butter, etc., to hopefully avoid passing on that allergy to the unborn child. Reading on your site that the thinking's actually changed completely.
Yes, there's a new hypothesis called the hygiene hypothesis, and we were preventing mothers and newborns being exposed to allergens, thinking we were doing them a favor, and in fact we were doing exactly the wrong thing. And that's why we've got an epidemic of peanut and food allergies out there now, and more allergic children than ever before. And the reversal is actually true, that during pregnancy the mother should eat these allergenic foods and the baby should be exposed early to them. Countries such as Israel and Southeast Asia, where they have peanuts early in their diet, they don't get peanut allergies. And same with exposure to pets and dogs and cats. Early exposure is good. Early exposure switches off allergies. And if we delay it too long beyond the first 6 months or year of life, then there's more likely to be allergy stimulation and sensitization.
Okay, it's fascinating. So not only change the way you think about what you eat during pregnancy, but also then what you're feeding young children when they're starting solids.
And childbirth. We've found that having a normal vaginal delivery actually switches on the immune system, and cesarean deliveries, the baby's not exposed to the mother's natural organisms, and so they're not actually at any advantage and more likely to develop allergies.
Fascinating. Okay. Some more questions coming through on our SMS line. Remember, please, you're welcome to phone us on 021-446-0567 if you've got an allergy-related question. An email coming through from Trish. This is an interesting one, especially given that yesterday was World No Tobacco Day. Trish asking whether you can be desensitized for cigarette smoke.
No, cigarette smoke is an irritant. It's not actually an allergen. It's got all sorts of horrible chemicals in, and they're not good for you. But you can't be desensitized to cigarette smoke, and it just aggravates existing allergies. It can actually promote allergies in small children. So if the parents are smokers, there's more likely the children will develop allergies.
Okay, thanks for your question, Trish. Let's go to the lines and say hello to Aisha, who's called us from Rondebosch. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. Sorry, I've got to call myself.
Oh, shame.
My son is 12 years old. From the time he was little, we've diagnosed him with the dust mite allergy, milk, et cetera, et cetera. He's now 12 years old. I don't know whether I go back for a test because he wants to drink milkshake. He drinks milk sometimes, and there's not much of an reaction to it. But I'm not sure now. I'm worried. You know, he's harming his body or whatever. So, what shall I take him back for a test, or shall we just carry on?
That's a very good question. You should definitely take him back for a test because the vast majority of children by about the age of 6 will outgrow their milk and egg allergy. And so avoiding it all your life would probably be unnecessary. And other allergies can develop. So his dust mite allergy may get worse. He may develop a fish or a nut allergy. But more than likely with milk and egg allergies, these are outgrown very early in life. And if once he's outgrown it, he can have those foods quite safely without any ill effect.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for your question, Aisha, and feel better soon yourself. Thanks for your call. Right, speaking of nuts, Cheryl on the WhatsApp has a granddaughter who's allergic to cashew nuts and pistachios, but no other nuts, and she would like to know why that might be.
Well, each nut has a different protein in it. So if you're allergic to one nut, it doesn't necessarily mean you're allergic to other nuts. So peanuts are legumes or beans, and nuts grow on trees. But a lot of people who have peanut allergy also have nut allergies. Mm-hmm. But each one of them is a different protein. The most common nut allergy is cashew and pistachio and peanut. And the least allergenic nut is almond. So some people who are cashew nut allergic will be able to eat almonds and other nuts, but you should get yourself tested because you could be allergic to two or three different nuts, and obviously you need to know, and it's very important because they can develop anaphylaxis and some very severe reactions.
I know several schools in Cape Town have declared themselves peanut-free zones because the children have developed such severe peanut allergies, for example. So it's a big
one. And it's
one
a problem because peanut is a very cheap food. So, you know, your peanut butter sandwiches is a staple diet. So children who don't have peanut allergies, I empathize with their parents because now they're not allowed to send peanut butter sandwiches to school.
The go-to lunchbox fix, yeah. But still, better safe than sorry for on the other side. Right, some more WhatsApp messages. This person has a mosquito allergy or has had for the past 2 years. Antihistamines don't seem to help. Is there any other treatment?
Mosquitoes don't generally cause allergies. They irritate the skin by biting you. And people who are atopic or allergy prone are very commonly affected by this. And they get these large, big blisters and wheals which last for weeks on end and itch. And you scratch them and they get secondary infected and become a big problem. And the way forward is to try and obviously put a insect repellent on the skin, or to sit outside with, if you're sitting outside and exposed to mosquitoes, you can put an orange with cloves in it. The other thing, which is an old theory, is to take vitamin B1 or thiamine, which is a natural insect repellent. So if you actually take vitamin B1 as a supplement, you're less attractive to the mosquitoes, because some people you'll know are always bitten by mosquitoes and others not at all. And they release a pheromone, which attracts the mosquitoes, and then it bites them.
I told my husband I was more testy than he was. Now I know why. Thank you for explaining that. We can take some more calls for Dr. Adrian Morris on 021-446-0567 and WhatsApps to 072-567-1567. Jean's son has been tested negative for allergies with both skin and blood tests, but every winter develops a post-nasal drip that sometimes turns into croup if we don't nebulize him. She's wondering, is there such a thing as being allergic to cold air?
Absolutely. That brings us onto the subject of what we call vasomotor or non-allergic rhinitis, which can be as debilitating as allergic rhinitis. And these people generally have a profusely runny nose, post-nasal drip. They're all congested up. And the treatment's slightly different. There's a different nasal spray because they don't respond to antihistamines and steroid nasal sprays. They respond to another preparation called ipratropium, which is also a nose spray. Seems to be very effective for the non-allergic rhinitis. But it is a big problem.
Okay, Jean, I'm so glad you asked. Thanks and good luck. And now at least you know which kind of product to look for to treat that. Back to the lines we go. Janet is on the line from Nortuk with a question. Good afternoon, Janet.
Good afternoon. I'd like to know, when I lived in Plumstead 5 years, I didn't get any allergies. Then I came to Nortuk and I take allergics and nose sprays. But when I'm in the shops like Woolworths or anywhere, I seem to be terribly allergic to the aircon. I start sneezing and coughing, my nose runs, And I was wondering, is that common or what?
It is, and it's another manifestation of this condition I just described called vasomotor rhinitis, where sudden temperature changes can trigger off nasal problems and sneezing. Runners may get it when they run in the early morning, they'll get it. Mm-hmm. Cyclists may get it when they're cycling around and they're breathing deeply and their nose is suddenly cooled down, or there's a temperature change, or there's a new cold front coming in or something. And perfumes can trigger it off. And it's not a true allergy, it's a hypersensitivity of the nasal membranes. And again, this ipratropium bromide may be helpful. Obviously, in your case, you don't want to take a drug because you're going to the supermarkets, but just to stay away from cold and sudden changes in temperature.
Janet, thanks for your call. And hello to Candice on the line from Cape Town. Candice, good afternoon. Candice, are you there?
Yes.
Good afternoon. What's your question, Candice?
Hi, good afternoon. I was just wondering, I don't usually suffer from any allergies, and I've never had hay fever, but lately I've been getting almost, it's like they are mosquito bites, but they're not, and they're all congregated in the same area. And we thought maybe it was from the animals, but it's not, because our animals are defleed. My husband doesn't have anything, so it's not bed bites. And doing some research, it looks like sometimes the body can produce its own histamine during stressful or when you're under pressure. Is that something that you've heard of before, or I'm just trying to figure out what is causing these things?
Yes, stress can release histamine in the body, so it makes allergy symptoms worse. You sound like you've got a condition called papular urticaria, which is usually triggered off by insect bites, and then you become sensitive to the protein of the insects. It doesn't even have to bite you, but if you're slightly exposed, you'll develop little groups of itchy bumps, which are really itchy, and if you scratch them, you break the top off, and then you get this rash, and it can last for weeks on end.
And they're not isolated to any area, like it could be on my ankle or my knee or my right. elbow. Not that they're isolated. That's why I'm thinking it's my own body producing histamine or something.
Okay, because papular urticaria should be grouped wherever that insect has been. So you get about six or seven of them all together on one part of the limb. You do get histamine responses, but they usually just cause flushing and itching rather than these raised papules which you're describing.
So what should Candice go and see an allergy specialist or a dermatologist?
Well, you could start off with a little hydrocortisone cream initially and an antihistamine to see, because often these things are self-limiting and get better spontaneously. Otherwise, to see an allergist or a dermatologist, but try the hydrocortisone and one of the over-the-counter antihistamines first.
Candice, good luck. I hope it comes right. Thanks for your call. Speaking of urticaria, Michelle sending an SMS asking whether a child can outgrow cold urticaria.
Cold urticaria is a fascinating condition because it's not actually an allergic condition. It's a relationship where the body's blood vessels dilate and release histamine on exposure to sudden changes in temperature. So heat can also trigger it off, but cold's quite common when they go and swim. And it usually happens when you climb out the swimming pool and then you cool off very rapidly. And kids running around playing and their clothing gets wet, it can also happen to them. So the treatment there is to try and reduce the blood vessels dilatation with antihistamines, and even a beta blocker sometimes is appropriate, or something called trepiline helps as well. So it's about the release of histamine from the blood vessels due to that sudden change in temperature.
And is it something that one outgrows, or...?
It tends to fluctuate. So you may have it for a few years and then it suddenly goes away again and then it comes back. I had a patient yesterday who had it for many years and then 5 years had absolutely nothing, and then it suddenly reoccurred out of the blue, and he was a keen swimmer. So it's really messed up his whole training program.
Shame. Well, speaking of swimming, here is another question saying, I get a red itchy rash whenever I swim in the sea, every single time. I have to rinse off before I swim again. Would that be an allergy?
Probably not. It's probably the salt in the water. It's definitely not the iodine. Everyone thinks that the iodine in the fish gets into the water and they're allergic to iodine. That's why they get a rash in the sea. But it's more likely the salt on the skin irritating. Because if it only happens in the sea and not in a swimming pool and not in the bath, then it's not going to be an allergy to water, or what we call cholinergic urticaria.
Okay. An allergy to water? Do some people have an allergy
to water? It's very rare. So...
I would hope so. Okay. Another question on our WhatsApp line asking, how do dehumidifiers assist in the control of dust mites and mold allergies?
They're brilliant because the dust mite can't drink water. It needs indoor humidity to survive. So you want to dehumidify the air in your home and actually reduce indoor humidity, and the dust mites will then slowly die off. And you can buy dehumidifiers. They're not expensive and they work very well.
Okay, thank you for that. Where was this question from? William, here we go. William, I'm so glad you asked this, William. It's something that I've struggled with in the past as well. William finds that so many different brands of antihistamines make him sleepy, even the ones that are supposed to be non-sedating. What ingredients should he be looking out for on labels if he wants to avoid that problem?
We're all different. It's amazing the actual difference in how people respond to antihistamines. The sedating ones, a lot of people don't get sedated by, and the ones that are absolutely shown in all the clinical studies to not cross into the brain, because when they cross into the brain through the brain, blood-brain barrier and bloodstream, that's when they cause sedation. And the ones that the companies say are absolutely non-sedating, I still find people who say they get sedated from. And I think it's a bit of doing sort of trial on your own and find out which ones suit you. Good ones are things like Rupinase, Fexo. They're the least sedating, and the most sedating are Allergex and your Phenagan.
Okay, thanks, William. I hope you're able to find one that works for you. Good luck with the process of trial and error. Let's squeeze in, shall we, one last call from James in Claremont. James, you get the last question. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. I would like to find out, my son has got eczema. He's about 6 years old. Is it ever going to go away?
Eczema is also an allergy manifestations, runs in families. It's genetically predisposed very often. The skin's a bad barrier to the outside world. There's a little protein called filaggrin, which children who have eczema don't have enough of. And they usually do improve with age. 6 years is when it's probably at its worst, and it's hopefully will improve. You want to have a good barrier effect on the skin by using a good emollient. And also to prevent the skin having any germs, there's a thing called staphylococcus on the skin, which then promotes the eczema. And putting half a cupful of Milton bleach or Jik in the bath water twice a week actually eradicates the staphylococcus from the skin, may help to make the eczema more easily controlled.
That's okay. That's difficult advice when we're being asked not to bath at all, but that's really interesting. Half a cup of Jik or Milton's, I would imagine, needs to be diluted in a fairly deep bath.
Deep bath, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, James, you have to... Oh, we've lost James. I was going to say you have to weigh that up with your water-saving
urges.
Oh, that's
urges. Right. Yeah. Bad advice. Sorry about that.
But it is what it is. As always, you've been a fountain of good advice and help. I'm sorry we didn't get to nearly all of the questions. We'll have to get you back again another time, Dr. Adrian Morris.
Thank you.
Thanks for being with us. And in the meantime, let me direct those who didn't get through in time to his website, allergyclinic.co.za. Is worth visiting. There's lots of advice and good information on allergies, on allergy testing, as well as contact ER details for the doctor. Great to have you with us.
Thank you.